So you got to hear it in English and in Czech. And so if anybody picked up on the Czech way of saying Jesus, it's Ježíš. Unless you're talking about baby Jesus, then it's Ježíšek. And so how old of a Jesus you're talking about will change how you say it. And though and those type of things are all throughout the language, part of what makes it a little bit challenging to learn. Like if I even just talk about my Bible, if I have my Bible here, there's about seven different ways I would pronounce that word Bible, depending on whether I'm just talking about it sitting there, whether it's coming to me, whether I'm reading it to you. About seven different ways that word will change depending on what's happening with it. And not only does that word change, but then that affects just about every other word in that sentence as well. So it's going to be fun, right? Makes me thankful that I can say God is able. Amen. Amen. And as far as you're talking about churches in the country there is, as far as we are aware, we've been trying to learn as much as we can, there is one church that currently has no pastor or missionary leading it. They're waiting on another missionary who's on deputation right there, right now, to go and to help continue it. There is a second work that is currently trying to exist on its own. That's the one we're praying about going to help with. And then there is one other missionary that's trying to start a work as well. So three. And 10.5 million people. It's a lot of work to do. Anybody feel Lord leading them to the Czech Republic? Could use the help, for sure. So, and if God does work in your heart about it, don't be afraid of it. I mean, is it a big challenge? Oh, for sure. But I think not following God is a much harsher challenge. And it's not, that never works out well. So if God calls you to it, don't be afraid of it. Just surrender yourself to Him and do whatever He leads you to. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and get into our message tonight. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 13. You'd find your place with me there, Matthew chapter 13. We're going to be looking at a parable that Jesus told in this chapter. Matthew 13, we're going to begin reading at the beginning of the chapter, verses 1 through 9, and we'll jump down a little bit as Jesus explains the parable further for us. So Matthew 13, verse 1, so the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some in 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now jump down to verse 18, and Christ is going to give an explanation of this parable. Verse 18, he says, Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father God, we come to you once again today, O Lord, and I'm just so grateful to be gathered here together where we can learn from your word, dear God. I pray that you'd use it tonight to speak to hearts in that way that only you can, dear Lord, and that you would take all that's done here tonight and use it for your glory. We ask in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're seated. All right, so just kind of getting into this parable that Christ gives us here, I really want to start looking at the explanation of the parable, kind of where we're going to start. In that second half of what we just read, when he says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower," says, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. And this is he which received seed by the wayside." And so in this particular account, it doesn't connect it quite as clearly. When it's talking about the seed, it's talking about it's the word of God. And you find this parable in other gospel accounts, and you'll see it just says that the seed is the word, or the seed is the word of God. And so it makes it very clear for us. But there's a couple things here that I really enjoy about this particular passage. And so that's why I go out of Matthew here. So it says, anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, that's how it's referred to here, the word of the kingdom, that's the seed, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that was sown in his heart. And this is he which received seed by the wayside. So he was that wayside. Remember, there's a sower going out and sowing the seed, and you got that field, and that wayside is that hardened ground that's been trampled down. And when that seed goes there, it's not getting into the ground, and it just gets carried away. And, you know, this person doesn't, there's no salvation there. The word is carried away. That doesn't have any effect on them. And, you know, maybe not at that point in time, but later on, maybe it could. But you go down and say, but he that received seed, or verse 20, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. But pay attention to verse 21, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. So you have this picture of this person who's receiving the word of God, and you see them trying to apply some of it to their life, but notice there was no root. It never got to their heart. Without the word of God reaching our hearts and affecting our hearts, there's still no salvation. Amen. And so this person, this is someone who, you know, maybe they're trying to put that outward appearance of Christianity upon them, but they've never accepted Christ in their hearts. And then when it gets hard, they get offended and they just walk off. And you never see that person again many times. But you go down, verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. This person was on the way to becoming fruitful. So there has to be some growth. This person has accepted Christ. There's faith there, there's growth. But then the cares of this world come in and they choke that out. And they get carried away with it. They become unfruitful. They were on their way to being fruitful, but then something else happened along the way. Something else came and distracted them from what's truly important. And, you know, I used to work with the youth group when I was down in Alabama, and saw this type of thing a lot of times. You might be able to take a group to camp, and, you know, when we get unplugged from the world around us, it's a whole lot easier to just focus on the things of God. And in that scenario, a lot of times you might have somebody who makes a decision for Christ, or maybe somebody gets saved, but then you come back home and things aren't as easy anymore. And a lot of times in some of these, the homes of these teenagers, a lot of times the hardship comes from their own home, from their own parents a lot of times. And maybe it comes from when they get a job. They get distracted by the riches. They think, oh, I need to have this car. Well, to have this car, I need to have this job. And then to have this job, well, that means I can't make Wednesday night church anymore. And just the deceitfulness of the riches, they get pulled away. They get caught up in all of these things in the world. And it doesn't have to just happen with teenagers. It could happen to us at any point in our lives. Maybe you get that new job offer that's going to require you to move or require you to change your hours and just slowly take you out of church and away from the things of God. And before you know it, you're following after that God way harder than you're following after God. Amen. And that deceitfulness of riches can come into any of our lives. But so this person here, you see someone who is saved, but they get choked out by, the word gets choked out by the deceitfulness of riches, and they just go after the things of the world. So you have a saved person who's kind of living like the world versus the unsaved person who was living like a Christian prior. But then you get to verse 23. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now I imagine our desire is that we would all be that good ground that would grow and be fruitful, and that as we get to witness to people that we would find these kind of people who are the good ground that we get to invest in, and we get to see that return. We get to see the growth. We get to see them, you know, going out and telling others about what Christ has done for them after they've come to know the Lord for themselves. We would love to see these type of things happen. But as I was studying this passage and kind of going through here, noticing, you know, when Christ is explaining all of these different things, he's talking about how that seed is going into the hearts of man, and now it's having these different effects, whether that person has that hardened heart or where they're at that time. And so Christ is really addressing the points of the seed and the soil. So then I started asking the question, why do we call this the parable of the sower? Christ isn't talking about the sower. Why are we calling it the parable of the sower? And so I read back through it again, and it kind of just jumped off the page and smacked me a little bit. In verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Well, that's why we call it the parable of the sower. That's what Christ called it. Then I started really asking, well, why is it the parable of the sower when, as he explains things here, he's not mentioning anything about the sower? He's talking about the seed and the soil. So I really wanted to kind of go back through it again and try to look and figure out what can I learn about this sower from this text. And so as I went back through and I was, you know, going through Christ's explanation, and here in Matthew, there's nothing recorded for us about the sower. And I believe it was in the account in Mark, you do find one little line in there about the sower, and it says, the sower soweth the word. Okay. So it gives us a little bit of information. We know the sower is sowing the word. But then I went back to look at what is the sower doing in the first part of the text that we read in the when Christ was telling the parable. So let's go back. Let's look at verse number 3. And we're going to try to really kind of focus on the sower and see what we can learn about this sower. Verse 3, when Christ is starting the parable, he spake many things in them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. His job is, he is a sower, that's his job, and he went out to just go do what he was supposed to do, to sow. And then in verse 4, it says, when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. Okay, and then verse 5, some fell upon stony places. And then you go down to verse 7, and some fell among thorns. In verse 8, but other fell into the good ground. And so we kind of just kind of get this picture of what's happening here. You have this man who goes out and he's sowing, and the seed is falling into all of these different places. And I was trying to put myself in the text here to kind of really visualize what's happening in this parable. And I started thinking of my own experience with gardening. I like gardening. I like watching stuff grow. And so I know, like here in Phoenix, we've got beautiful trees all over the place. And I enjoy being here and seeing those things. And we used to live down in Alabama. And so things grow like crazy down there too. Not only do you have lots of sunshine and heat and things like that, you also have a lot of moisture. You don't have that here. I looked and right now the humidity is 14% outside. I don't think it gets that low in Alabama. I mean, a low day on humidity in Alabama gets around like 40-50% is like a low day on our humidity down there. It's so thick and humid, they actually call it the air you can wear. And before I had ever gone down there, you know, my wife, she grew up down there. She had told me about this, and I was like, it can't really be that bad. But the first time I went to go down there and visit, I flew down there, and I got off the airplane. I'm on the little walkway off the airplane, and I you know, walk out the airplane door and like, like I feel like I'm about to drown just trying to breathe the air, and I didn't know if I should like go back in, look for a scuba mask, or start swimming. And I mean, it was that thick. I was not expecting it. But on the flip side of that, that means everything really grows very well down there. And like almost all year long. It's like you almost have two different spring seasons almost. But really, a lot of times I would say we had both seasons down there in Alabama. We had summer and then we had January. So you didn't have much growing in January, but it was like summertime all the rest of the year. And it was great for gardening. And so we had a garden in our backyard, but we did like raised bed gardening. You know, I'd be trying to prepare my soil and trying to make sure everything was just perfect, get my little seed spacing in there, grow some fruits and vegetables and different things. And I was trying to like think about how that applied to this text and then realize it really didn't. It was cool memories, but it really didn't apply to this text because this guy, he's not planting raised beds in his backyard. He's planting a whole field. And so it's not this little meticulous stuff. He'd have his field. They still would have prepared their fields. You know, the Bible talks about people out there with their ox and their plow, and they're preparing their fields that they're going to be planting. And so if, let's say this platform area up here, this is the field. It'd be all plowed and prepared, and you'd have this man, he'd have like a bag of seed, and he'd just kind of reach in, he'd start grabbing those handfuls and start casting it out there to sow the seed in this area. And so he's sowing the seed, and so I was trying to picture that, and then I start thinking about our text. You know, in the text, remember where all the seed is going. It talks about, you know, something's going on the wayside. And so I can kind of see that, you know, if you got those hardened down areas around the edge of the field where it's all trodden down and hasn't been plowed, and you know, some seed, yeah, I can see some seed kind of falling into those wayside areas. That makes sense. But then going down and thinking about this field that's been prepared for the seed, well, it says some, verse 5, some fell upon the stony places. Why are there still stones in this field? Or in verse 7, some fell among the thorns. Why are there still these weeds and things in this field? It's not so much like, just trying to picture it in my head, it's not like this guy has this field that he's just, you know, throwing his seed out in this field that he has prepared. It's more like he's just kind of reaching into that bag and just throwing it out there everywhere. He doesn't really care where it falls. He's just throwing seed everywhere. It's like, then it clicked. This is about sharing the gospel. That's how we're supposed to share the gospel. It's not about trying to prepare this perfect area that we're going to be spreading everything. We're supposed to be spreading that seed everywhere. When you go out, grab that gospel seed, take it with you, and just give it out everywhere. We don't know if that person that we're sharing the gospel with is going to have a stony ground heart, or they're going to have thorns in their life, or they're going to be that wayside, or they're going to be the good ground. We don't know. That's not our job. Our job isn't to judge somebody's heart and how they're going to be receiving the seed. Our job as the sower is to sow the word. That's it. As the sower, we sow the word. But a lot of times we make it too much about us, about our abilities or whatever it may be. And we just make excuses. We can be really good about making excuses on, oh, you know, I don't know what to say. I mean, if you're saved and you can tell somebody about what Christ did for you, you could witness to somebody. If you can grab a gospel tract and hand it out to somebody, you're being a witness to somebody. We're all capable of doing those things. But, you know, just kind of an excuse, oh, I don't know what to say, or, you know, I'm just scared, I'm shy. I mean, I know all about being shy. I told you a little bit about how I used to be earlier on, and, you know, you can pass out a gospel tract and stick it on somebody's door. You don't even have to look at somebody a lot of times. And, you know, if you are, I know, like, when I first got saved, I was nervous about going out. And so, you know, my pastor, he knew I was nervous about it. So he always made sure I was going with somebody who was experienced and just kind of let me kind of tag along and just kind of be that second person until I got more comfortable with it. And then I'd go and I'd talk to people. And, you know, we can all be in that situation where we can make excuses. And I'm no exception to that. You know, I've been in that place of saying, you know, making those excuses. I'll give you an example. You know, I'm not worried about giving out bad examples of myself because, well, I do have an image to uphold. It's not mine, it's his, right? It's not about making myself look good. It's about making God who he is, which is good. And so there was a time where we were down in Alabama. We were taking the youth group to camp somewhere. And, you know, you get in those 15-passenger vans or you're just on those long road trips and you got to stop. You got to stop and get gas. So we stop at this gas station in the middle of nowhere. I don't remember where we were, but we stopped at this gas station, and I'm about to get out to get gas. I notice on the other side of the pump from where we're at is this big U-Haul truck. Nothing unusual about that. But then I open up my van door, and then I hear the music coming from this particular truck. Imagine, the best you can, some really hardcore heavy metal music. And now mix in the bagpipes. Legit, this is what it was. And somebody else has found this before and they're like, is this it? Like, that's it. Heavy metal music mixed with bagpipes. I had never heard anything like this. So I'm like just instantly confused. I'm like, what in the world? Am I hearing that right? But there's nobody there with the truck and it's just, you know, blaring out of the truck and like, hey, whatever, I'm just gonna get my gas and move on. About that time, you know, I'm pumping the gas. And I look back up towards the gas station, and the doors open up, and this mountain of a man begins exiting the building. And I just see him off in the distance. And I'm like, that's a big guy. And then I realize he's walking my direction. And as he's walking this direction, you know, he keeps getting bigger and bigger, and I keep feeling smaller and smaller, and I was intimidated. I mean, and he's not doing anything. He's just walking back to his truck, which happened to be that U-Haul that was parked on the other side of the pump. And so, I mean, and I'm there, I'm thinking, I just want to hurry up, pump my gas, get back in the car. I mean, this man's very intimidating just by the mass of his size. If I had to try to describe what this man looked like, he looked like a Viking. If you took the hat off of a Viking, that was this man. I mean, legitimately, that's what he looked like. I couldn't describe him in a different way than that, honestly. So I like just need to get back in the van, leave, don't have to worry about it. And that's where I was at in this scenario. Is that a good way to be a witness to somebody? No. Had that man even done anything for me to have that reaction towards him? No. Without raising your hand, can anybody think I've been there? So it was, you know, I'm finished pumping the gas. I'm thinking, okay, we're just going to get out of here. But God had other plans. God started knocking on my heart saying, hey, you need to stop acting this way and go witness to that man. He's big. And I've told this story before, but I'm kind of ashamed to admit this part. Before I could get myself to go and witness to this man, I had to get to the point where I look back at the van with my wife and the teens and say to myself, if I die, my wife can drive the kids back. And so I did it. I was like, right, whatever. So I grab the track and I go over and start talking to this man. And I'm not expecting this to go well, but as I start talking to him and get an opportunity, he's listening. I'm going to tell him about Christ and give him an invitation to church. Of course, it was from like some other city, so he wasn't going to make it to that one. But just talking to him about Christ, and come to find out a little bit about his background, he said, you know, he wasn't a Christian. He believed in Thor. That was from his ancestors. That's why he looked like a Viking, because he was. But he said something that really caught me off guard. While he said he believed in Thor, he was really starting to believe that this Jesus Christ was the true God, because people kept reaching out to him to tell him about Christ. And so this was just one extra confirmation for him. And he didn't end up getting saved during this conversation, and I don't know what ended up happening to him afterwards. But here's me, just cowering over in the corner because of just some outward appearance of this man. And yet, God's trying to reach him because God loves him. Why wasn't I loving him the same way? And if I really stop and I think I need to be loving people the way that Christ does, I'm not going to make sharing the gospel about myself. And if we go back to our text here and think about, you know, Christ said this is the parable of the sower, yet when he starts explaining it to his disciples, he says nothing about the sower other than the sower soweth the word. They're seeing, I believe it's in Mark. Why doesn't he mention anything else about the sower? Because it's not about the sower. It's not about us. It's about the seed and how it can work in the hearts of men. Amen. Our job is to make sure they get it. They get to hear it. How shall they hear if we don't tell them? You know, the people in the Czech Republic, how are they going to hear? Except, you know, if we go, we tell them, some other missionaries on deputation that go and they tell them, maybe God's going to call somebody else to go as well. We pray for that. Pray, Lord, send more laborers into that field. But then, think about where we're at right now. Phoenix is a big city. We're in Glendale area here. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people here that don't know Christ. There's a lot of people here who need to hear the word of God. That's not where God has called us to go. But that's where God has you. What does he want you to do? Just like the sower in the text, he just wants you to reach in, start casting that seed out there. It doesn't matter what kind of ground it falls into. That's between them and the Lord. Amen. It's our job as the sower to sow the word. Amen. Not to make it about ourselves. Not to worry about, am I going to do this right? Am I going to do that right? It's not about us. It's about God's word. Amen. And what he can do in the heart of somebody else. If we are just faithful to say, hey, let me invite you to church. Read this tract. Let me tell you about what Jesus Christ did for me. But to do that, we need to stop making excuses. We need to stop making it about ourselves. Just sow the word.